Hello there. Good to be with you again. Welcome to another Bernie Miklas show here on YouTube. Big news in baseball. Yesterday, Sunday, Juan Soto agreed to a 15-year contract worth $765 million to join the New York Mets. The deal eclipses the $700 million contract over 10 years that had been given to Shohei Ohtani to sign with the Dodgers last winter. MLB valued that deal at $460 million in present-day value because of all of the deferred money that was part of the Ohtani package. Soto's deal, which is phenomenal for him under any circumstances, but the deal has no deferred money, which makes it like almost shocking in today's baseball financial environment because deferments are becoming a larger piece of the payroll puzzle. Agent Scott Boras got Mets owner Steve Cohen, one of the wealthiest men or persons in America, to agree to an opt-out in the contract with Soto having an opportunity to leave the Mets after five seasons. But Cohen protected his investment. That opt-out isn't all that it seems to be because he can only opt out after the 2029 season if the Mets don't increase his salary from $51 million to $55 million annually over the final 10 years of the deal. That's a small price to pay, bumping it from $51 million a year to $55 million a year. Small price to pay to keep Soto, if you want to keep him, right? I think the most staggering part of this contract how much Soto will make over the first five seasons. From 2025 through 2029, 5 years, Soto's will bring in $305 million, which includes a $75 million signing bonus. But when you put in the signing bonus and the salaries over the next five seasons, he'll bring in, if we're going to break it down on an average basis, he'll bring in an average of $61 million per year during that stretch. And again, with no money deferred. Soto, put this into perspective now. Soto will make $61 million by himself in 2025. Let's contrast that to the Cardinals. As presently constructed, the entire Cardinals outfield will make an estimated $6 million in 2025. $61 million for Soto, $6 million for the entire Cardinals outfield. And if you want to list Brendan Donovan as an outfielder, and we all know he'll be moving around in the field, then the St. Louis outfielders, if you include Donovan, will make around $10 million coming up in 2025. Newt Barr, Walker, Ciani, Scott, Burleson, and Donovan. This was the third massive free agent deal signed this offseason. The Dodgers gave Blake Snell a five-year contract worth $182 million. The Giants landed the former Brewers shortstop, Willy Adames, to a large deal. 7 years, $182 million. More big contracts are coming. It's just a matter of time. And the free agent market is moving a little quicker, obviously, than it did last year. But anyway, still out there and waiting for the big payday. Our starting pitcher, Corbin Burnes, third baseman, Alex Bregman, starting pitcher, Mac Fried, and among relievers, Tanner Scott is going to get a big payday. He's outstanding. The spending spree isn't just limited to top-tier guys, right? If anything, as it applies to the Cardinals, one of the things that probably is concerning to them, and again, you don't have to be concerned. I'm just saying from where they sit, I would imagine they're probably not thrilled by seeing a lot of second and third tier free agents, starting pitchers specifically, cashing in. You say Kikuchi, Luis Severino, Matthew Boyd, Frankie Montas. Heck, the Mets even gave $38 million over 3 years to Yankees reliever Clay Holmes, and they plan to make him a starting pitcher. Michael Wacha agreed to a 3-year, $54 million extension with Kansas City. Nick Martinez accepted Cincinnati's qualifying offer of $21 million for 2025. Again, these are not outlandish deals, but my point is when you look at the top tier free agent signings and you look at like sort of the middle class free agent signings, the price is still going up and up and up. It'll be interesting to see how much, and I think this is a test case. It'll be interesting to see how much former Cardinal Jack Flaherty will sign for when he agrees to a deal with someone, because there is interest in him and teams are going absolutely cuckoo in the search for starting pitchers. Listen, the cost of signing free agents, pitchers or otherwise, it ain't going to go down a year from now. If anything, the free agent prices will continue to rise. The Dodgers have shown teams, for example, how to push salary obligations far into the future by using generously funded deferred payments. The Cardinals have done this before. That's been kind of one of their techniques, but the Dodgers are taking it to a whole new realm. Blake Snell's contract announced last week includes $66 million in deferred money payable through 2046. When Tommy Edman, the former Cardinal, signed with the Dodgers an extension, it's a five-year deal for $74 million. That included $25 million in deferments paying payable to Edman through 2044. Check this out. The LA Dodgers now owe deferred payments that amount to just over $1 billion in salary deferments, over $1 billion in salary deferments that'll be dished out to seven players from 2028 through 2046. Otani, Edman, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, Teoscar Hernandez, and J.D. Martinez. Wow. I mean, Hernandez and Martinez aren't even with the Dodgers anymore. They've moved on, but the Dodgers will be paying them well into the future anyway. That's why, and I'm going to go back to this, that's why I'm surprised by the Cardinals' apparent desire to hold on to starting pitcher Eric Fetty, and closer Ryan Helsley for 2025. It isn't that they wouldn't help the team. Of course they would help the team. I mean, obviously, right? And there's no guarantee that they will hold on to one of them or both of them. I mean, if they get an offer they can't refuse, it would be just stupid to turn it down for either one of these guys. Well, you can always refuse an offer, but you know what I'm talking about. You can't walk away from something on the table that would really make you better in the future. And of course, you could always flip these guys, one or both of them, at the 2025 trade deadline at the end of July. But from where I sit, and I think this probably is true for many of you, there's more of a chance of the Cardinals keeping Helsley and Fetty and having them stay for 2025 more than I would have guessed, more than I would have surmised at the beginning of the offseason. Of course, both can become free agents after 2025. The cost of free agency is going to go up and up and up. So it's difficult for me to believe the Cardinals will be willing to pay the soaring market price for new contracts for Helsley and Fetty after next season. If I thought for 1 minute, seriously, realistically, they would have a really good chance of getting both of these guys extended and to stay, if I thought that this was a realistic possibility, I mean, a truly realistic possibility, to give them a really big deals but not go nuts, let's say. Maybe they're looking for that Cardinals discount that we're all used to. I just can't buy the fact that they will go in big to keep both of these guys. That's all. When both of these guys and their agents know what's coming in free agency after 2025, based on how the market has shifted and in a way that is very, very terrific for free agents and especially free agent pitchers. So how will Cardinals chairman Bill DeWitt Jr. operate in this environment? The answer, he won't. If we're talking about spend, let's go after the big dog free agents. Let's keep up with the Dodgers and the Mets and the Red Sox, and I could name some other teams, the Phillies, pardon me. The answer is he's not going to participate in that environment at the top of the free agent scale. I think you already knew this, but let's just reaffirm that. And that's why Cardinals the Cardinals hired Heim Bloom to make the team's player development system and the farm system, and the innovation and the knowledge and the industry leading analytics and everything that they used to have when they were great. That's why Bill DeWitt wants to go back to try to make them great again. And he believes Heim Bloom is the guy who can set up that baseball operation in a way that will come close to replicating what Jeff Luhnow was able to do in player development draft and just given the minor leaguers all the tools and everything they needed to thrive in the major leagues. And along those lines, you know, in the coming years, including right now, because they're still planning for 2025, that's a coming year, right? It's imperative for the Cardinals to draft, develop, and graduate a parade of talented youngsters, hitters and pitchers. Each one will be under contract control for six major league seasons before free agency even becomes a factor. And if enough of these guys pan out, the Cardinals will be, you know, well set up for years to come, at least until each individual player would reach that free agency bridge. And then you never know, of course. That's why I think Bloom and the farm director that he hired, Rob Serfolio, are the two most important people in the Cardinals organization. I would say, given what's at stake and given the role that they will have, prominent roles they will have in shaping this franchise from a competitive standpoint for the future, I would maintain that they're the two most important people in this entire operation. And I'm including players in that, right? Because it's up to these guys, primarily Bloom, but it's up to these guys to make sure that the Cardinals have, you know, waves and waves of really good young talent that they can lean on and build around and sustain any success they have. And so this is a lasting thing. This thing, the magnitude of the jobs these gentlemen have, the impact of the jobs they have will stretch well into the future. You know, this isn't a thing where you sign a player to a 3 or 4 year contract at big money. This transcends that because you can look way down the road and you'll know, if we could see into the future, we'll know just how successful Bloom and Serfolio and all everyone else that they hired to restore the Cardinals, we will know how successful they were or not. It's also, that's why I also think, you know, the future does depend on them and, you know, they're really, really important, just to reiterate that. And I apologize for being redundant. It's also, I believe, and I know some of you are probably sick of me talking about this. I think it's important to trade assets that are close to becoming free agents, unless you are absolutely determined to sign them and you will sign them, right? Unless the Cardinals are going to go all in on Helsley and keep him beyond 2025, and Eric Fetty the same way, especially if he has a good year in 2025, those contract prices for those two dudes will be elevated. You know that. Now, and if they walk away, the Cardinals will be virtually empty-handed if they go bye-bye as free agents. Cardinals would receive a compensatory draft pick for each pitcher, and I know that gets some people jacked up. I compare that to what they could get if they trade one or both of them now, given the desperation out there for pitching, right? So, yeah, it's not like the Cardinals will get nothing if they walk away. I mean, sometimes it happens that with that compensatory draft pick, you actually strike it pretty big. The classic example in terms of the St. Louis Cardinals for doing that is Michael Wacha. The Cardinals selected him in the draft with the pick they received, the compensation for Pujols signing with the Angels after 2011 season. And without Michael Wacha, the Cardinals don't win the pennant and get to the World Series in 2013, among other things. But if you're talking about as an operational philosophy, letting good players walk without cashing in with larger deals for those players, larger deals as in trading them for a package of young talent, young major leaguers, whatever that package would be, I think it's the wrong way to go for any franchise that is not going to ever hang with the big spenders in Major League Baseball. But Cardinals president John Mozeliak, and some of you have pointed out, you say, you know, this looks like Mo's trying to, on his final season of running the baseball department, it's like he's trying to secure or repair or put his legacy in a different light. He wants to go out on a winning note. Now, I don't doubt that that's applicable. I don't doubt that there's some truth in that. I don't know how much he's fretting over his legacy, but I do know this. He seems to be, unless this is all one big, kind of playing possum, kind of setting the deck to trade these guys, but he wants to make it seem like he's playing hard to get. Oh, we'll keep both of them. Oh, no, we need them because we think we're going to have a good club. So we don't know what he really, really, really believes, what he really, really, really wants to do, or whether this is just sort of the pre-trade posturing and tap dancing and trying to convince teams that you're serious about keeping your players. In other words, hey, fellas, you want Helsley? Pay up. You want Fetty? Pay up. It ain't going to be cheap. Okay. We'll find out soon enough what the real plan is deep down for John Mozeliak. But he really does seem to have been, he's been doing this all along, and he's really sort of turning up the aggressiveness on this, talking himself into believing that the Redbirds are contenders in 2025. And in that scenario, of course, they will need Helsley and Fetty instead of worrying about adding more young talent in trades to this roster regeneration project, if you want to call it that. I'm just sick of calling it reset. Or whatever. Hey, listen, perhaps Mo's view will be validated. Perhaps the Cardinals will be contenders. Perhaps they will exceed expectations in 2025. As many of you have noted, the NL Central is far from dominant. It is not a scary division. If you're trying to, you know, make the best use of your funds and hold the line on costs, and do a soft reset, soft rebuild, soft regeneration, rah, 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 whatever R word you want to use, right? If you're kind of like, you don't want to tear it down, but you still want to be kind of good, and hey, maybe there's a chance, that kind of thinking. This is a good division to be in. It gives you shelter, and it would give the Cardinals some shelter in 2025, unless the Chicago Cubs decide, you know what, we ought to own this division. Let's go. Let's turn it up. Let's be aggressive. Let's go out this winter and go berserk. I don't think that's their ownership's way either. That's the irony, you know. Bill DeWitt and the Cubs ownership probably have more in terms of their philosophy, probably have more in common than you would imagine, right? The Ricketts family and Bill DeWitt. So the NL Central does provide shelter, but I think it's going to be providing shelter for quite a while. And that gets back to what the real goal is. Is it to be good, be competitive, to be at least, you can say, well, we are contenders. Well, you're contenders if the bar is set low for you winning, relatively low for you winning a division title. You can declare yourself a contender because last year, for example, before the trading at the trading deadline, the Cardinals were 2.5 out of the final wild card spot. They were contenders. You're 2.5 out. Even if it's the third wild card, you're a contender. I'm just saying, I'm not saying, oh yeah, they were strong contenders. No, I'm not saying that. From their viewpoint, well, we want to contend. They could claim that they contended. Well, at least until the bottom dropped out and they scored about, oh, I don't know. I'm exaggerating on purpose here. Final couple months of the season, you know, they scored about, 1.5 runs per game. Actually, wasn't that bad. But the offense, except for that hot streak that began on Mother's Day, May 12th, and then carried on to, you know, whatever the end date was. I think it was July 9th. Cardinals had a good offense for a while. But before the hot streak and after the hot streak, bad offense, real bad offense. So, you can declare yourself a contender and not be wrong. So the Cardinals seem to be inching towards doing that with some of the comments that John Mozeliak continues to make on Sunday morning, KMOX Sports, on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Mozeliak told my friend and colleague Tom Ackerman that he thinks the Cardinals can be a lot better than what people expect. See, he's talking himself into this. And maybe, again, I'm an open-minded guy. Maybe he will be proven correct. I'm a little skeptical. And I don't think that that makes me like an evil human being for being skeptical. If you have watched this organization for as long as I have, you would know there's always a reason to be skeptical when they say something. That's all I'm saying. I choose to be a little skeptical of how good they're going to be in 2025, no matter how many more times Mozeliak is going to sound a positive note. And he can sound all the positive notes that he wants to. It's okay with me. I don't own the team. My personal happiness is not going to depend on whether the Cardinals win 78 games or 85 games. My life ain't going to change. But I would love to see a winning baseball team, but not just a winning baseball team in terms of, well, we just got to get into the playoffs type of attitude. I want to see them strive for greatness and to be at that high level for a long period of time. But are they going to be able to do that? It's going to be a challenge, right? And I know when, you know, if the Cardinals truly believe, hey, we want to be good, we want to be competitive, and just sort of hold the line all the time on this and just bank primarily on the farm system, which is a smart thing to do, banking on the farm system, that part. Then you got to supplement it. You got to roll up your sleeves and add some elite talent to your own homegrown talent. I'd rather see greatness be the goal rather than goodness be the goal. Oh, I think we can be pretty good. I think we could contend. I think we can exceed expectations. I would rather see a more just a more ambitious attitude. We want to be great. We want to win the division. We want to win pennants. We want to get back to the World Series. I'd rather see that attitude. I just don't know if we're going to see that attitude because they still seem stuck in this thing. It's like, well, the Central is not like some of these other divisions. You know, the Dodgers aren't in the Central. The Mets are in the Central. The Phillies aren't in the Central, you know, right on down the line. The Red Sox aren't in the Central. So that they can talk themselves into justifying keeping the payroll at a certain level. And look, I'm one of these people, as I've said a million times, probably to the point of wearing y'all out. They don't need to show me they're just going to spend just to spend. I don't want that. It's stupid and it doesn't work. We have seen that it doesn't work for them. I want to see them get to the point where they truly have, they are truly loaded with young, cost-controlled talent, which they can add to by signing a top-tier free agent or two, depending on the year, or they can trade these young prospects because if they have a great supply, they can afford to trade some of those prospects and get the immediate help that they truly need in deals. But I'm not talking about just getting middle-class guys coming in, talent level middle-class guys. I'm talking about big moves that really elevate your team. And I know that I think Bloom, rather than kind of the wishing and hoping strategy, I think Bloom will take a more pragmatic approach than Mozeliak has in recent years, especially with assets that are movable in trades. That's how you keep your team flowing with talent on a near constant basis, and that gives you a larger measure of cost certainty and stability. It gives you a foundation that is in place for a long time, and hopefully for them it would be self-sustaining for a long, long time. We've seen it before here. I know that isn't as exciting as spending humongous sums of money on free agents, but here, let's talk about this again. The question isn't whether Bill DeWitt should alter his philosophy and jump in to pursue elite free agents. Now, you can say that he should. I can say that he should. we can make demands and we can have little fits and all that. What he should do and what he will do are two different things. So no matter how much we want to see Bill DeWitt Jr. go in big on free agency, for example, he won't. And I'm talking about anytime soon. He won't. Maybe to supplement it later on with this young, talented foundation they've built. Because he never really has gone in this way. He's tried a couple of times. More on that in a second. Sure, the Cardinals added significant salaries in the trades for Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, and part of that was extending Goldie's contract that he came over with from Arizona for $130 million over 5 years. That's a good contract. But that was a kind of price point that worked well for both sides. I think Goldie, at that part stage in his career, he could have probably gotten more had he opted for free agency rather than signing with the Cardinals, but he liked what he saw in St. Louis and he wanted to stay. It was a common sense contract for both parties, right? Rather than anything truly extravagant where it blows you away, right? And keep this in mind too when we talk about, well, Goldie took a little less, right? Maybe he took even a lot less. I don't know. We'll never know. See, the player must really want to stay in St. Louis to even consider a discounted contract. And even then, it depends on who his agent is. If it's Scott Boras, ain't no such thing as a discounted contract. Maybe a shorter-term contract, the so-called pillow-type deal. You sign 1 year, you try to improve your value, and then you go out on the free agent market again. Sure, the Cardinals have tried to splurge under DeWitt on occasion. Top free agent market guys, David Price and Jason Hayward are the two prime examples, but they didn't sign here, did they? And as it turned out, it's probably good that they didn't. And I'd say it was good that they didn't. So this has never been the DeWitt way. He's not going to spend like the Mets owner, Steve Cohen, or the hedge fund dudes who are going to keep the Dodgers rolling with expensive and elite talent, probably into perpetuity, depending on how long these guys own the Dodgers, right? When the Cardinals, especially with Chaim Bloom coming in, and don't get mad at him, he's just going to be doing his job. The Cardinals spend on free agents. They're going to be looking for low-cost, potential high-value bargains that turn out to be better than people think. And every now and then, they'll go for an upper-middle-level free agent, as they did last year with Sonny Gray, and then kind of middle-tier free agents with Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn. Gray wasn't mid-level, but he wasn't top of the free agent bracket either, right? He was somewhere between the middle and the top. And he is in a higher class of free agent acquisitions. But again, we're not talking about a top of the market guy. And that's the point I'm making. And again, that's why Bloom's going to be leading the baseball operations for 5 years starting after the 2025 season, because his strengths match DeWitt's envision model, one that worked successfully for the Cardinals owner in the past. We've been through all that. Don't need to review it again. Whether the updated model, which is patterned after, you know, Tampa Bay and Cleveland and a couple others I could throw in there, but primarily Tampa Bay and Cleveland, whether that will lead to more division titles, pennants, and World Series. Well, we don't know that right now, do we? A lot of it depends on what teams in the NL Central are going to be doing over the same time. Here's another point. If the Cardinals want to lure expensive free agents in the future, if they ever get to the point where they're in the chase for some of the bigger people available on the market, first thing, they're going to have to make this a more attractive franchise that has much stronger appeal to free agents. Free agents, especially if they are consumed by winning, they're going to want to go to a place where they don't have any doubt whatsoever about the commitment to winning. No doubt about that. Maybe there's an exception every now and then, but by and large, guys, if they can get top dollar or close to it, but they're signing on with someone that they know, ownership, management, they're going to do everything to win. That is a big pull. That is a big lure. And let's be honest here. The Cardinals are no longer a top destination franchise for players that have really great options elsewhere. When you choose a new home for free agency, things are just different now. The perception of the Cardinals around Major League Baseball has changed, and not for the better. And I think that filters down through agents and free agents that they represent. But Chaim Bloom was a free agent, right? He did have other options, but he really wanted to come here and work for the Cardinals franchise because he really wanted to restore the slumping brand that this thing has turned into. And I commend Bloom for that. And I think he believed that he's a good fit for what the model Bill DeWitt wants to put back together again. And there's nothing wrong with putting that model back together again because of the success in the past. But again, I repeat, that can't be the only way. If you want to get back to putting trophies in the trophy case, that can't be the only way. You're going to have to supplement it and go in big from time to time to give your team a much better chance of making a run and playing for those things that you used to compete for. The Juan Soto contract does not have a direct trickle-down effect for the Cardinals, but it does mean something. If the Cardinals are going to succeed in a big way by doing things the DeWitt way, then Chaim Bloom must become one of the most successful free agent signings the Cardinals have ever made. And yeah, he was a free agent signing. And yeah, his work from this point forward becomes critically important to the future of Cardinals baseball. That'll do it for now. I will be back later. Thank you for watching. As always, thank you for subscribing and commenting and hitting the like button. I am grateful for your support.